All right. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Anybody remember what happened to Paul when he was at Philippi? This is a quiz. There'll be a test after the message, but this is a warm-up quiz. He's put in jail at Philippi. And you know something miraculous? He didn't get discouraged or depressed. He didn't let it bother him. He and his traveling companion Silas thrown in jail. And rather than whine about bad situation, they just praised the Lord and they sung songs. And I think they probably prayed, and Paul might have preached a little bit, you never know. I know he did enough that the Philippian jailer wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. And God opened the doors, didn't he? That's pretty remarkable. And so Paul's writing this back to that group of Christians there. And we're going to start in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I'm going to stop there. Verse 13, we like to say that, don't we? I can do it all, buddy. Sometimes we don't measure up so good, do we? But we like to tell ourselves that we can do it, you know. So we're going to just talk about can do for a little bit tonight, okay? Because sometimes it's easier said than done. Amen. We know that, don't we? I can safely say, or at least I think I can safely say that we've not been through what Paul went through. I mean, he got put in jail there. That's one thing. But we also know that he was shipwrecked. I believe he said 3 times. He'd been beaten before. He'd been stoned one time and drug out of the city as dead. And, you know, I stop and look at that and I think, I've never had anything like that. Never. There are disappointments, and there's some hard things kind of that we go through, but Paul's he's an optimist, ain't he? Doesn't matter. I can handle it. So I want to look at this for just a minute, and I want to kind of grow a list here for you, okay, of things that he's talking about that he can do through Christ who strengthens him. Verse 11 holds a big key, I think, that I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And that's a hard one. Kind of a hard one, isn't it? But let's look at what he says here in verse 12. We'll look at that for a little while. He gives us a list here of things that he said he can make it through all of these things through Christ. And what I want to draw your attention to here is there is, I guess I could say, two different sides to the coin. Okay? First of all, he said, I know how to be abased. That's brought down pretty low, isn't it? That might be what we could consider a humbling experience. I know how that works, he said. I've been abased. He's been treated as an enemy by his family. He's been rejected. Let's face it, if you've suffered some beatings, that's, I don't know about you, but that sounds like pretty much being abased to me. Can't think of anything that would have been much worse than being nearly stoned to death. That would be abased, wouldn't it? That's brought down pretty low. Paul said, I know how to do that. I know how, I've been through that, okay? Then he said, I also know how to be hungry. I'd say that's one that most of us really don't know much about, do we? I know, you know, during the day you need a snack. I don't think that's the hunger he's talking about, do you? I think he's talking about a hunger where he didn't have anything to eat. You know, I just believe, and I've been in some of your homes, not been in all of them, but I didn't snoop around in your pantry. But I got a feeling that most of you could say, you know, I don't have anything to eat. But what you really mean is, I really don't want anything that I've got here in the house to eat. You know, it's kind of one of those things is the difference between men and women. You know, and a woman goes to the closet and says, I don't have a thing to wear. She really means I don't have anything new to wear. If a man goes to the closet and says, I don't have anything to wear, he don't have anything to wear. And it might be his fault, okay? And going hungry here in America, that's really about true, isn't it? The trouble is, it's just not something we want to eat, okay? But we could eat. It's not like we're going to have to go hungry. We've got food. When Paul says that, I think he's gone through periods of time he didn't have anything to eat. Did you notice a little line that he said here in verse 10? That I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. They've been giving him an offering to live by. Paul was living by free will offering. And apparently from the way he says it, there's been a period of time they weren't supporting him. Now, if you don't support a guy and he doesn't have a regular job and he doesn't have a 401k or an IRA or some kind of retirement plan, how's he going to eat? He's not, right? See, that was part of the problem back in the Old Testament time when they had turned their back on God and they weren't bringing their tithes and offerings to the temple. There was a whole tribe of people, the Levites, that weren't eating. They didn't have farmland. They didn't have crops, couldn't raise crops. And so it took the support of the people for them to eat. What Paul is saying is, you know, there's times in my life I didn't, is this an old saying or am I just hallucinating here? I don't have two nickels to rub together. Broke. And when you don't have two nickels to rub together, you can't buy food, right? And that's what Paul's talking about. And then he goes on and he says, I know how to suffer need. And I think that's probably more than just food, don't you? Clothes wear out, don't they? Shoes wear out, don't they? I'm sure in his travels that there were times he had to take a boat. There's probably sometimes he had to pay a fare, didn't he? I'm sure all these things are true. Those three things that he says right there, I think we could probably all identify that with maybe we've been abased a little bit, but probably not like Paul. I'm really doubting that any of us have seriously gone hungry for any period of time. because you've always got peanut butter or pickle bologna or something, don't you? We can eat a little bit. We can eat crackers or something. We can. And to suffer need, let's face it, we are living in a land of plenty, aren't we? We don't really know what it's like to really need something, do we? You know, every year in November, I send a text out to my girls and say, okay, now it's time that you send in your wish list for Christmas. And you know what? They've always got one. They do. And you know, more than anything, I want to know what the kids want. I care about what the girls want too, but oftentimes they'll text back and say, well, there's nothing I really need, but. Right? That's kind of the way we are in America. There's nothing that we really need. You know, we hear the song sung once in a while. You know, I've got shoes on my feet. I've got plenty to eat. Got a roof over my head. You know, Paul said in one place, having food and raiment therewith to be content. We're a society where there's not a lot of need, but there's a lot of want. Because we do have homes to live in. And I know you probably don't have, you know, $100,000 or $1 million home, but you got a home. You got a place to stay. You're going to have warmth this winter. You've got it cool in the summertime. Your roof probably don't leak on you, you know. It's a comfortable place to live. And it may not be immaculate, okay, but it's a comfortable place to live. So we don't need that. We don't really lack in food. If you run out, how far is it to the JC store? And you don't even have to go to JC store. You can go to the dollar store and get food, right? We're a blessed people. And Paul is saying that through all the really hard times that come, I can get through them because I have Christ on my side. Now, when I look at that little short list right there, hard times come, or something difficult begins to show up in our life, we tend to lean on and trust the Lord more during those times, don't we? Because we say, Lord, I need your help right here, okay? Got to have your help in this situation. And I think we probably whine about things that really probably aren't too serious sometimes, but if you think it's serious, then it's serious, right? I mean, I have people tell me troubles all the time, and I'm thinking, what in the world's wrong with you? Now, I don't say that, because if it's serious to you, I need to take it serious, okay? I mean, that's important. That's how we empathize, right? And when we go through those times, it's when we really realize that we need Christ, that we want Him, and that He can help us through those times, don't we? And I still marvel when people are just ready to throw in the towel and quit, you know? I mean, oh, I've just gone through so much, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they'll even threaten to quit sometimes. And I have to think, and sometimes I ask, do you really want to go back to what you were living? I mean, what is there to go back to? There's not, is there? So when hard times are coming, we'll persevere. And boy, I'll tell you what, it'll drive us to our knees sometimes. We'll pray. Sometimes, you know, if it really gets too heavy, sometimes we'll fast and we want this thing to work, and we know that the Lord will be with us, and so we get serious with Him. So, you know, I'm glad that He's there for us in those bad times, aren't you? But let's look at the other side of that coin now, okay? He also said, I know how to abound. I know how to have more money than I know to do with right now. I know how to do that. I know how to have more friends than I've ever had before. I know how to abound. I know how for everything to go good for me. And then he also said, not only does he know how to be hungry, but he knows how to be full. He knows that, okay? He's saying, I eat and I'm hungry and I eat and I'm full and I know how to do that, okay? And then for some reason, and I really don't know why, okay, but in verse 12, he uses the word abound twice, doesn't he? It sounds like he knows that sometimes There are showers of blessings, and they're not always spiritual, but physical sometimes. We get things, right? And I look at those two lists, and I look on the side where he's abased and he's hungry and he has needs, and then I see that he is abounding and he's full and he abounds a little more, okay? And you know what I discovered in that right there? We tend to lean and trust on the Lord more during the hard times and forgetting during the good times. Because everything's going good. Why? We slack up on our prayer life. We slack up on our dedication to Him. You know why? Because things is going good. And so I have to think about that once in a while. And I have to say, you know, we might be better off to be abased and to be hungry and to suffer need. Because in our minds, then we realize that we need the Lord. And in reality, don't we need Him all the time? Good times, bad times, we need Him all the time. So there should never, ever be a time in our life that we don't try to draw close to the Lord. And Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. He said, it doesn't matter what comes my way. I need to be content with what God has given me. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Did you ever notice how people that have money are never content? They want more money? Be content with such things as you have, Paul told us. We need to be satisfied. And I think we live in a world where there are very few satisfied people. There's always something more out there that we want. And we need to be careful of that. Because while we're pursuing the prize, sometimes we take our eyes off the Lord. And our eyes should never be taken off the Lord. He says, I can do it. I can make it through all of these circumstances through Christ. What does Christ allow to happen to us? Now, God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't make bad things, okay? But what might He do to get our attention sometimes? Might He allow, just like He did in the life of Job, might He allow the adversary to come a little bit closer than what he has in the past to get our attention? You see, the premise in the book of Job of Satan is that he's challenging God. You ever notice that in the book of Job? God's the one that brings Job up. Satan doesn't. I hear that once in a while from people. Oh, Satan brought up Job to God. No, read it. When all the sons of God gathered together, it said, and Satan came also, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yeah, I have, but you won't let me do anything to him. What does that mean? That means he's protected by God. God said, no, you can't. But now Satan is saying, if you'll let me go after him, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, I don't think so. I don't think so. So I tell you what, you can go do what you want, but you can't touch Job. And Satan, I think, really, in his own thinking, is like he's like, man, I got him now. Hard times are going to come, and Job is going to fold. And God has just removed that ring of protection, and Job, in one day, loses his children, loses his cattle, loses his wealth, and it didn't work. Job just leaned more on the Lord. And so, once again, the Lord's called all of his sons together, and Satan came, and he said, hey, you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yeah, but you won't let me touch him. And if you let me touch him, he'll curse you to your face. And we know the story, don't we? It didn't matter what Satan brought his way. And I cannot imagine, in my memory, It's getting worse, I think. You know, that happens when you get older. I don't think I've ever had a boil. Anybody here ever have a boil? It just don't sound good. I mean, it's one of them things I just don't want, okay? You know, it's kind of like kidney stones. I just don't want them, you know? Went years without them. I've had two. I don't want no more. Okay, just don't want them. It just sounds too painful to me. But even if you've had a boil, I guarantee you, you cannot imagine the suffering that would be if you had them from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. That would be awful, wouldn't it? That would be awful. Do you know how Job made it through? Same way Paul made it through. Through Christ. You see, I think God sometimes allows our adversary not to go as far as Job, because most of us couldn't take it, could we? But God knows what we can take. Right? And I know people say it's not in there all the time, but it does say he will not suffer us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. He didn't say take it away. He said he'd make a way of escape. So he knows, God knows what you can take. I think, personally, God knows what you can take on the negative side of the coin, and he also knows what you can take on the positive side of the coin. So sometimes I think he allows Satan to come our way and to vex us to keep us humble. Isn't that what he did to Paul? Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that buffeted him. And he said, I prayed earnestly 3 times that the Lord would remove it. And what did God say? No. I'm going to leave it there. Why? To keep you humble. To keep you humble. I get a feeling if everything went right for us all the time, we'd lose our humility. We'd forget about God. We'd just drift off somewhere. Don't you think so? I mean, God sometimes walks us through the valley for our own benefit. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And sometimes it feels like we're to throw up our hands and quit, but we don't. You know why? Because we know Christ is on our side even when we're walking through the valley. We know he's there. How many times have we heard people testify who are going through sickness and surgeries and things, and they'll say, boy, thank you for the prayer. And you know, sometimes I get to think, well, how do they know I was praying for them? How did they know? I felt it. I felt that. I knew, because I felt the presence of the Lord during the time I'm going through that. You know what? Every one of us, if you ever tell somebody that you're going to pray for them, you better follow through. You better do it. Because that is what's giving them strength. Paul says, I can do it through Christ. He's admitting, I can't do it by myself. And you know, there's so many things in our life, and I'm guilty. I like to do things myself. I have people at work all the time. How do you do all that stuff by yourself? Well, number one, I don't want to put up with somebody trying to help me, and they probably don't want to help me anyway. But I've learned to do a lot of things by myself. But sometimes we don't need to go it alone, do we? We need help. And I can tell you this, in every aspect of my life, I want the Lord helping me, okay? He strengthens me. He is the reason that I make it through. And I discovered many, many years ago why I will never, ever be a millionaire. I can play the lottery till the day that I die and I'll never win. That's one reason why I don't play. I'm not going to pay to lose, okay? I remember being on a cruise one time, and they've all got a casino on them, you know. And when you get out into international waters, they'll open the casino up, and they'll let you go in and give them your money, you know. And I remember the purser one time, we were going to be in waters between a couple of islands for quite a while. And he said, now, if you really got an urge that you want to go and give money to the casino, just slide it under the door or wait until we get out in international waters. We'll take it either way. It won't matter. And that's true. You know why I'll never be a millionaire? I don't think I could handle it. I don't. I think if something fell my way that big, I would look and I'd say, I'd be like the rich fool. Boy, I got it made. I got enough money laid up for many years. Just eat, drink, and be merry. You got nothing to worry about. And you know what? I'd be taking the great chance that God might say to me, as he said to the guy in the parable, you fool. Face it. We don't have any millionaires in our church, do we? If we do, I don't know about them. Maybe God's not allowed you to be rich for the same reason. Maybe you couldn't handle it. Maybe the reason why we don't have perfect health, and contrary to a lot of you people's thinking, I don't have perfect health. No, I have a little pain once in a while. I have a cold once in a while. Never had a headache. I've just been one, but, you know, I understand what pain's all about. We're not perfect health-wise. And if we were, would we forget God? Paul's saying that it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, whether I'm on top of the world or whether I'm being stomped on by what's going on in the world, I can get through it. He didn't say he liked it, did he? But he said, I can do it. I can do all those things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I want to challenge you tonight not to forget God through the good times. It's easy to remember him in the hard times. It's super easy to remember him when things are going hard and times are tough. But it's easy to forget him when things are going good. And you know what? We need him good times and bad times. We need him when we're abounding, and we need him when we're abased. We need him when we're full, just like we need him when we're hungry. We need him when things are going up and when things are going... We need him. Folks, we just need him. And we need to recognize that the reason we're doing as good as we're doing is because it's through Jesus Christ. Because only him and him alone has the ability to give us the strength to make it. I don't want to be exalted by pride. And I don't want to be humbled too much either. But you know what? We have to give Christ credit through both of them. And I think we forget that sometimes. I want him in my life all the time, don't you? It don't matter. I want him all the time. Because if he's not there all the time, and I happen to leave this world when I've rejected him in my life, what's going to happen? See, I still believe that you can backslide. Don't you? I still believe you can. And I know that we have a lot of people in the world say it's not possible. And I mentioned a song yesterday in the SBBI class. You know, we got talking about lyrics, how you need to pay attention to what they say. And there's a very popular song that was out. Fact is, it went to number one on the Southern Gospel charts here just a couple of months ago. And it's called The Book. It talks about having your name in the book. And really, overall, it's important. You know, if you're going to make it to heaven, you've got to have your name in the book, right? I mean, that's what it said. Even in Revelation, and you know, it said the book of life was open, and whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's kind of the negative way of saying if your name's in the book, you get to go to heaven. It said if it's not in the book, you're cast into the lake of fire. So that book's pretty important, wouldn't you say? And I want my name in there. And the song says, you know, when you were born again, that he took his pen and he wrote it down. But there's one line in there that I fuss at the radio every time I hear it. And I know the singers aren't hearing it, but I still fuss at the radio, can't I? Yeah. But it says, my name's in the book and it can't be blotted out. And I fuss at the radio. I've yelled at the radio. You people laugh at me going down 65, me fussing at the radio, wouldn't you? Every time I hear that, I say, you need to read your book. Because God told Moses, whoever sins against me, his name will I blot out of the book. So excuse me, it can be blotted out. And you might say, well, it just says it one time. How many times do you need to be told? We all believe in the doctrine of being born again, don't we? I do. Why? Because Jesus talked about it, right? Peter talked. It's only mentioned three times in the Bible, but that is the heart and soul of the gospel, that we all need to be born again. So just in case you're in doubt tonight as to whether your name can be blotted out or not, can we go look at another scripture? See, this is why it's important to understand that Christ needs to be in your life. And you're only making it because of him. Now, I didn't tell the guys in the sound booth this, but you guys can look this up. Would you turn to me over here in the book of Revelation? And I've already told you, it talks about our name being written in the book, right? Or not being there. And if it's not there, you get cast in the lake of fire. If you remember a song by the singing Goffs many years ago, it had been back in the 60s, maybe 70s, you know. It's called Please Search the Book Again. I know my name is there. But the song also says, it's too late now, I know. But would you look one more time? Friends, I got to tell you something. God knows whether your name's in that book or not. And if anybody knows whether your name's in there or not, it's Jesus Christ himself, because it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It is. You guys over in Revelation? Do you know the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible, and there's 66 of them, but it's the only book in the Bible that guarantees both a blessing and a cursing. Do you know that? So get there in chapter 22, and I want you to listen to this. And we got to read verse 18 and 19 because they go together here, okay? John wrote, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." That scares me to death. You say, well, why? Because so many people are adding stuff to it. They are. I mean, they're making some stuff up. And so I'm concerned about them. That's why I'm so cautious, okay? And I've told people, and I've told you here, and I'll tell you again, I quit teaching the book of Revelation years ago because I just make people mad. Because I take it for what it says, and the purpose of it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you the straight up of it. If you interpret this book as saying anything other than revealing Jesus Christ for who and what he is, you have missed the point. And there's a whole lot of misinterpretation. And that upsets people. So rather than have people mad at me, I just quit teaching Revelation, okay? But let's go a little further. I don't want those plagues, do you? No, not me. But I would suffer the plagues if I could still get into heaven, wouldn't you? But here's the second half of that sentence. Verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy," you know what that means? Don't add to, don't take away. If you add to, you get the plagues. If you take away, what happens? "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So if you want to take something out of Revelation, have at it. God says, if you do, I'll take your name out of the book of life. So what am I saying? We can backslide. It's possible, ain't it? I don't recommend it. Not a good idea. But it compels me to want to trust in Christ, whether things are going good or whether things are going bad. Because I don't want to be found without him in my life. Definitely want to give him credit for everything that takes place in my life. Some of you didn't know that was in Revelation, did you? You do now. Okay? So don't tell me it can't be taken out when God says it can. So we need to give God credit where credit is due, don't we? When we get through the hard times, we need to say, you know what? I made it through Jesus Christ. When things come good and we get a little complacent in worshiping God and God finally brings us back down and gets our feet back on the ground, we have to say, you know what? I made it through the good time by the grace of God because Jesus Christ helped me through it. Good or bad, He needs to be in your life and guiding you through. So, let's get down to the end. Let's ask a question. Is He in your life? Is He? I hope He is. And if He's not, I hope you'll find Him. Because there's no other way of eternal life than through Jesus Christ. Lots of religions in the world. Lots of them are promising things. But let me tell you something. All the founders of those religions are dead. And some of them placed a heavy burden on their people. Do you know that? Only one religion. And religion, by the way, in case you didn't know this, is any form of worship. Any form of worship. I hear people say all the time, oh, I got religion. Well, what kind? Okay. I'll tell you something better than religion. Just get salvation. It's a lot better. It's a lot better to have salvation than it is to get religion. Only one religion has a founder that loved people enough that He died for them. Only one. And that very same religion, that very same founder that died for them, 3 days later rose from the grave and is still alive, and everybody else is dead. We've got a guarantee of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And we only have that if He's in our life. So we probably need to pause once in a while and say, do I have what I need? Am I where I need to be with the Lord? I certainly don't want to be found wanting in the eyes of God when I stand before Him. Do you? I can do it all through Christ. But Jesus said it Himself, without Me, you can do nothing. Amen. The old Charles Johnson and Reviver song, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I still like Kathy's version. Okay. She gets so blessed when she sings that, and you can tell she means every word. And you know what? I look at that and I think, you know what? That's a perfect example of somebody depending on somebody else. And Kathy's not just depending on her mom and her sister and Dave. She's counting on the Lord. And we do. That's what we need to do through hard times, through good times. Don't forget the Lord. Make sure He's in your life, would you? Let's stand together.